What up, what up, what up? Back again for another great episode for the FTN Fantasy Show. It's me, your boy LQ, the real deal fantasy HQ. You see the face, you know the case, fire content only. And of course, I'm here with my boy co-host Matt Okada. What's up, brother? Week one is in the books.
Oh boy, what a week one. It was like exciting and disappointing at the same time. There were some great games. There were some weird fantasy performances. It's fantasy, man. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of leagues. I'm looking at AJ Brown side-eyeing like, bro, you good? You good? But that's a perfect segue into our first segment. Will it happen again? Real or fake? Like, is this Fugazi? Is this the real deal? I mean, look, man, Javonte Williams kicked off Thursday Night Football. Cowboys, Eagles. This guy put up a 20-burger in his debut as a Cowboy. Now, Okada, I look to you because I don't know if this is real or fake, man. Like, what's going on?
I think it's somewhere in between, Laquan. This one's like a knockoff, but it's a real knockoff. Listen.
Yeah.
You know what it's a knockoff of? It's a knockoff of David Montgomery is what it's a knockoff of. And it's just not a very good knockoff of David Montgomery. I think Javonte Williams has a good chance to be a poor man's David Montgomery. And when he scores touchdowns, which he has a good chance to do very often, because even if Jaden Blue gets activated, which he wasn't in week one, he looked like and feels like the short yardage and goal line back. So, and this offense is going to be good and get them down into the red zone a lot. So I think he's going to have a good chance to score a good amount of touchdowns. He did not look very explosive. He did not look, his vision didn't look too great. So I don't see him taking that Jahmyr Gibbs role. Now, Miles Sanders fumbled in the red zone. So things aren't looking great for him. And Jaden Blue needs to be activated at some point, or else we can't throw him into the picture at all. If that doesn't happen, if he doesn't get activated, Javonte Williams, all of a sudden, I'm going to answer this question with a yes, it will happen again. And it might happen again pretty often.
Wow.
Because so what else are they going to do? Give the ball to Miles Sanders?
I mean, no, I wouldn't do that after he fumbled. I mean, honestly, I didn't think Miles Sanders was going to make the roster, to be honest. Like, I thought he was going to be the roster cut, being on how Blue is, like, so explosive. But Blue needs to stay healthy. This is two injuries he picked up just over the summer. I think he wasn't activated for week one just based on he's probably still healing from the last preseason game. He injured his ankle. So I could see Blue eventually getting ramped up, taking some touches away from Javonte Williams, but I'm just scared for my life, Okada. Like, I legit was asking you, is this real or fake? Because I am a person who actually has a lot of Javonte Williams because we were taking that shot on him over the summer. Him being his ADP was outside the top 40 running backs. It was just kind of like, sure. I mean, like, I think folks should take this for what it is. Like, you're honestly looking at him as a flex option. Like, I'm not benching my running back one or two at any point in the season for Javonte Williams unless it's injury or buys. But I think folks should feel really good with him on the rosters. Now, I want to ask you about a Cleveland tight end, and it ain't David Njoku. Now, real or fake, will this happen again with Harold Fannin Jr. putting up a top six tight end performance? And it's less about the fantasy points. It's the target share he generated. It's the usage that he was getting. Was it at elite usage at a 71% snap count behind a very well-established tight end one in David Njoku? Okada, should the fantasy streets be trusting this with Harold Fannin Jr. moving forward?
Yes. It's going to happen again. It might happen again pretty often. There was a lot of talk when you were with the prospect Harold Fannin Jr. of, well, did he have the greatest production by a tight end ever in college football history only because he went to Bowling Green and his competition was nada? And these are tough questions. Like, it's the same sort of question people ask with Ashton Jeanty. He did not look as good in week one. With Harold Fannin Jr., the production was too good, and what we saw from week one is too good to doubt him. I think he's going to be a very, very good tight end in this league. Seven catches in week one, Laquan. One other tight end in history as a rookie has had seven or more catches in week one.
Wait, can I guess?
And it was a guy named, do you know?
Wait, no, I don't know. I want to guess.
Okay, take a guess, but I bet you won't get it.
Jason Witten?
Nope. Very recent. Like, very recent.
No way. Brock Bowers?
No, recenter.
You're lying. Tell me, you're lying. Hold on, what?
Tyler Warren.
Get out of here.
Tyler Warren and Harold Pannen Jr. both had 7 catches in week one. Nobody else had ever done it.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
So
Titans are
both
on the
these
board.
Two guys. Yeah.
Ain't it crazy? The fantasy streets were crying, saying get rid of tight ends just like 2-3 years ago. And look at the last 2-3 years with these rookie tight ends. Like the year 3 breakout might not exist anymore. Guys are hitting the ground running. Wow.
I think it should be noted, like the Gronk, Kelsey, Kittle, Andrews era.
Year 3.
Those tight ends.
Yeah.
They created a new future for tight ends because they basically changed the game to where they were all of a sudden the best weapon on their teams for many years. And whether it's the players who want to be like them or the colleges that want to use them or the NFL teams that want to develop tight ends to be like that, I think tight ends from now on are just going to be this much better early on immediately in their career.
That is freaking awesome, man. As a fan of the tight end position, I'm glad they are back. I'm glad they're hitting the ground running. But now let's go to Buffalo. I got a question for you, man. Are you buying the Keon Coleman production in week one? Because like he finished as the wide receiver too. And like to me, I know how I feel about it, but I'm curious at where you're at with Keon Coleman. Is this real or fake?
This is a tough one because if you look at the metrics that tell you if this will happen again, things like air yards and target share, it looks pretty dang good for Keon Coleman. He had a whole lot of air yards in week one.
Oh, yeah.
But then you also have to look at context, and the Bills were playing this insane shootout with the Ravens back and forth. Josh Allen had to throw a ton, downfield a ton, and Keon Coleman had a great game. I'm not 100% sold. I would call me like kind of sold, not even kind of sold. I'm now intrigued on Keon Coleman, whereas I was previously pretty much out on Keon Coleman. I was much bigger on Khalil Shakir, who I still like. But I'm like a little bit intrigued about Keon Coleman now, and just a little bit intrigued. I'm not running him into a starting lineup immediately. I'm not, you know, dropping or trading away my high-end wide receivers because I can throw Keon Coleman in as my wide receiver one now. None of that is the case.
Good. Like, I think the fantasy streets need to realize, like, the only time the Bills get in this bag of being a pass-heavy offense is when they're against the Ravens or they're in the shootout. Just look back to that Rams game. I look at Keon Coleman as a wide receiver two, not even a high-end wide receiver two. A high-end wide receiver two, to me, that's the T. Higgins tier. I don't believe that's where Keon Coleman's going to be living on a week-to-week basis. And like you said, nail on the head, I'm not ruling him out in starting lineups. Like, I'm not that trustworthy of the guy. Like, I know we got him late in drafts, a flex option at best. But I'm starting to feel like now we're getting the Keon Coleman hype from last year, just kind of coattailing off of this strong week one performance. So I'm more on the wait and see. I'm more like you. Like, I'm intrigued, but I'm kind of like observing from afar. Like, I'm not advising folks on a week-to-week basis like Keon Coleman's a wide receiver one, because we have to look at the Bills' identity. What is the DNA? They were 28th in passing plays last season, people. That is not Bills football that we saw week one. They don't want to get in those shootouts. They want to get up and pound the rock. They just paid James Cook. So therefore, I feel like the passing volume for Keon Coleman's going to come down. I think folks are a little bit blinded by the glory of the wide receiver one production we got. But I just want us to be very, very cautious about the hype and the Kool-Aid that we drink, because, man, he will break hearts if you go out there and expecting that wide receiver one production. Now, Okada, Daniel Jones. I mean, I feel like we're a Daniel Jones podcast. Like, I feel like we support him, because all summer long, we were like, look, man, this is Daniel Jones's job. Is this real or fake, though? I mean, it's a tough matchup this week against Denver. But moving along forward to the season, is this week one performance real or fake by Mr. Daniel Jones, the QB3, 29 fantasy points per game, but rostered in less than 20% of leagues, man? Is this real or fake? Are we picking him up, Okada?
Okay, first of all, let's just remind everybody who tried to say, why are you benching Anthony Richardson? He's your franchise quarterback. This is why.
Yes.
We told you all offseason this was such an easy decision. This is why. Anthony Richardson could never do what Daniel Jones did, who, by the way, ran for 2 rushing touchdowns, so he could even do what Anthony Richardson could do.
This is everything we've said, Okada. Please preach. This is everything we've said.
Okay. Now that's the upside. Let me take the downside here.
Yeah.
He's about to face the Denver Broncos, Laquan.
Yeah.
It could be horrendously ugly. However, if it's just a little bit ugly, which I think it is the ceiling for Daniel Jones in this game is a little bit ugly.
Yeah.
If it's just a little bit ugly, though, against this defense, I'm going to be buying into a pretty significant degree. Right now, kind of like Keon Coleman, I'm intrigued, but I'm not buying in all the way because I think the Dolphins defense is terrible. And I think that it made Daniel Jones look much better than he is or will be is the wording I want to use, but I'm open. I'm open. So if he goes out there against the Broncos and he has 200 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, and 30 rushing yards, that sounds pretty bad. That's not that bad against the Broncos defense. I feel okay about that. And now I'm buying in on Daniel Jones. If he has 120 yards, 3 picks, a fumble, doesn't score any touchdowns, now I'm back at like, okay, the Dolphins defense made Daniel Jones look like that. He's not going to be that. Right now, I'd say he's like somewhere into the top 15 range, which is much better than where he was.
Wow.
But I'm not sold on QB1 yet.
Listen, there's 2 things we can get from this game this week. It's either A, Daniel Jones is pretty freaking good, because if he finishes as a top 15 quarterback this season, I'm advising folks to go pick him up, because this will be his strongest test, I think, for majority of the fantasy street seasons. So I think if he goes out there and puts up 17 fantasy points against the Denver Broncos, I'm picking him up off waivers. He is definitely going to be an option that I want to have on my roster. Now, if he goes out there and tanks, then that just tells us, hey, every single player that you have on your roster that is facing the Miami Dolphins defense, you better load them boys up, because boy, it's going to be fireworks, man. Oh my God. I am so happy to see Daniel Jones, though, being able to go out there and put on the show. But let's take a quick break and we'll come back to some game previews, man, that we need to discuss. There's some storylines with some of these guys. So we will be right back. And we are back to get into some game previews. And obviously, we're going to end the show with some Thursday night football predictions because, hey, we're recording on a Thursday and we have no idea what the outcome of the game is. But last week, we tried to have some fun and give us a little previews about the Dak situation, about George Pickens and how they were going to do. But we'll rewind back to see how that went. But tonight, we got Commanders, Packers. It should be a great one, but we'll get to that at the end. But right now, the first game that we're going to talk about, there's some news with the 49ers. And yes, I said the 49ers. We all know.
Okay.
Rams fan. I'm just saying, man, I can't respect those guys. I don't respect their fans. But we got the 49ers versus the Saints. Brock Purdy out for 2 to 5 weeks. Mac Jones gets the start. Is he going to be able to keep the momentum with Ricky Pearsall with that strong week 1 performance, Okada? Like, that's the biggest question that some folks are fearful of having Ricky Pearsall in starting lineups this week.
This seems like it should be a difficult question, Laquan. It is not. The answer is yes, absolutely. First of all, Mac Jones is playing for Kyle Shanahan, which is like, it just feels like the best marriage in the history of the game. He just feels like
soulmates.
Such a Kyle Shanahan quarterback. But if you're concerned about his wide receiver one, might I point you to last year when he was playing not for Kyle Shanahan, but for a questionable Jaguars offense. And he joined in at the end of the year to replace Trevor Mid-Lawrence. And this is what he did for... Yeah, he should be maybe even a little lower than that right now.
I need this to make an extension at the bottom.
Yeah. This is what he did for Brian Thomas Jr. Okay. Brian Thomas Jr. in the first game with Mac Jones. So all of a sudden Mac Jones had to show up. He did nothing. Okay. Both of them did nothing. It was not great. But the remaining 7 games of the season, so almost half the season, this is Brian Thomas Jr.'s full season pace with Mac Jones at quarterback. 121 catches, 1,639 yards, 12.1 touchdowns.
Wow. That's my only reaction. Wow.
Yeah. It was really when Brian Thomas Jr. broke out. And he was the only wide receiver option there, which is a big reason why. Ricky Pearsall is kind of the only wide receiver option for the 49ers right now. And they don't even have George Kittle. So it's really just Ricky Pearsall and Christian McCaffrey. I'm absolutely starting both those guys, expecting top tier performances.
That is amazing to hear because, wow, my man was on pace to break records because Trevor Mid-Lawrence couldn't get the job done. But I will save Trevor Mid-Lawrence for another day. He knows who he is at the end of the day. But on the other side of that, man, my guy, Juwan Johnson. I mean, we talked a little bit about him over the summer. I had the privilege to text Jameis Winston to ask him about what stood out about his game and exactly what Winston was speaking about. He's essentially a big wide receiver, his ability to create the separation. I mean, honestly, he is a matchup nightmare for all defenders, and he goes out there week one and puts on the show. My God, Juwan Johnson, do you feel like picking him up off the waiver wires and slotting him into starting lineups? Because I think he brings a nice little floor, being that he shows his importance in that Saints offense, Okada.
Yeah. I had Brenton Strange, Juwan Johnson, and Harold Fannin Jr. as the top three tight end waiver pickups, the three guys you want to go out and try to get if you had George Kittle, who is, by the way, on IR now, if you weren't paying attention. Real rough.
Huge blow.
For all of us Kittle truthers. Those are the top three. And to me, Johnson and Brenton Strange were kind of even at the top. So basically he was the top of my options to replace George Kittle or to pick up if you needed a tight end for any reason. I absolutely think Juwan Johnson is going to be good rest of season. They have Chris Olave over there, who has not had an excellent track record of staying healthy. And they have Rashid Shaheed as a downfield guy, but he's not going to be a high target guy. So that means Juwan Johnson is basically like the 1B. Could end up being the one in general at some point. Obviously, Kamara is going to get some catches, but this offense is going to be bad. They're going to have to throw a lot, and Juwan Johnson is going to catch a lot of those passes. So I think maybe top 12 tight end rest of season, Laquan.
I love that. I love that take because I can honestly see it. Spencer Rattler has no fear. He was top five in air yards in week one, so they're going to air it out. And you look at Juwan Johnson, essentially a big wide receiver, quote and unquote, from his former quarterback. He can attack vertically as well, people. And he almost came down with that game tying touchdown. And I wish he came down with that because that would have made his week one performance even sweeter. Let's go to New England. Now, Okada, I need to know. It's New England versus Dolphins. Tyreek Hill, are you good? Like, what are we doing? Like, I'm a little worried.
First of all, I don't know if Tyreek Hill is good. What I know with even more confidence than that is I don't know that Tua Tagovailoa is good. I don't know what's going on over there, man. They are a mess. Tua looks terrible. I don't think the Colts defense is a lights-out defense that just made him look bad, even though he's not. Oh. I'm very concerned about this whole offense. They need to get on track real quick. There's been a bunch of off-the-field stuff. You know, all the weirdness with Tyreek and the team based on last year and saying he was kind of done and then coming back. It's just like everything feels off in Miami. So, no, I don't know if Tyreek Hill is good. I'm not benching him yet. Like, if you have him in a league, it's very unlikely you're going to get him to your bench unless you drafted some. Like, okay, here's what I'll say. If you drafted Emeka Ebuka in the seventh round, and you have an opportunity to put him in over Tyreek Hill, I'm probably doing that. But in most cases, you're not going to be able to bench Tyreek Hill, so you have to roll him out there again, see what happens, and hope that this offense gets better real quick. Otherwise, he might be a busted early round pick.
Folks, this is why I will be the guinea pig. I took a lot of Tyreek Hill over the summer, but you know what? I'm glad in two of my leagues that I do have Tyreek Hill. I have Keenan Allen on the bench. And Keenan Allen's coming to save the damn day because I cannot roll Tyreek out this week. I think there's a lot of off-field issues with the Miami Dolphins. I think there's a lot of internal issues with the Miami Dolphins. So I'm staying away from that circus. I bought a ticket expecting speed kills, but I did not put into my calculations of how bad the Dolphins offense was going to be as a collective. But let's look at Drake May. Do you think Drake May joins in on kicking the Dolphins while they're down? Because we know that defense is bad. I mean, if Daniel Jones goes out there and have a big performance, can Drake May follow up?
Yes, he absolutely can. And similarly to how the Broncos are a real test to see what Daniel Jones is, Drake May might be a real test to see what the Dolphins defense is, because he is honestly a somewhat similar quarterback to Daniel Jones, but the much better version, in my opinion. If he goes out there and has anything like what Daniel Jones did, I think this Dolphins defense is locked down rest of season, as what you talked about earlier. You're throwing everybody out against them. Spencer Rattler's playing them? Sure, throw him out there. I mean, good gracious. So, and I expect that to happen to some degree, because again, I think Drake May is kind of just a better version of Daniel Jones. We saw what Daniel Jones did. Drake May can do the rushing stuff. He can do the downfield stuff. I think he's a very talented quarterback. I'm hoping this is like one of his major breakout games as a Patriots quarterback, and we see him sort of step up into the role he was drafted to be, which is the franchise guy. That's what I'm hoping to see, and I think we could.
You know what? I'm rolling him out this weekend. I'm playing a little dangerous game because I'm benching Goff. I'm benching Goff because I don't like the matchup, but I feel as though you drafted Drake May to have these kind of like decisions to make.
Yeah, that is an excellent presentation of the question, or like what people have to deal with. Are you going to go with this rookie, or not rookie, but young guy who's never really shown it in full? Or are you going to go with this guy who's been consistently a QB1 year after year after year, except suddenly now when he doesn't have Ben Johnson and looked quite bad in week one? Do you trust him? Do you go with the young unknown? To me, with this matchup and Jared Goff's matchup, I think this is an easy question to answer. I totally agree with you. Roll out Drake May over Jared Goff. It's not even close.
Absolutely. Now we're going to go to Cincinnati. I lied, folks. I'm talking about Team Mid today. Trevor Mid-Lawrence. I can't stand to see Brian Thomas Jr. come out of week one with 7 targets and 1 catch. But he had a rushing touchdown. Woo! Thanks, Liam Cohen. You saved a lot of fantasy managers from a goose egg. But looking at Team Mid, is this an easy layup for him? Because you have some folks in the fantasy streets that were believing in Liam Cohen to elevate this Jaguars offense. But are you feeling safe or even remotely like at that decision to put him into your starting lineups this week?
Not unless your other quarterback was Brock Purdy and you couldn't pick somebody better up off waivers. I mean,
waiver wires are dry on quarterbacks from what I heard.
Yeah, there are circumstances where you might have to do this, but I really would rather not. I understand the matchup is supposed to be good. I'm not so convinced after 1 week that it is, because Joe Flacco threw 2 interceptions. Granted, that's Joe Flacco. That's kind of what he does. He throws the ball 45 times and 2 of them are picked. That's kind of just his thing.
It comes with him.
And I do think this Bengals defense should be bad overall, but I don't trust Trevor Lawrence to really any significant degree right now. I need to see something worth trusting before I'm willing to trust him. So, I mean, you're not starting him unless you're in a 2 QB league and your other option was Brock Purdy, basically, is how I see that. I think the bigger question is, are you confident starting Travis Hunter? Because you're not starting you're not sitting Brian Thomas Jr. either.
Yeah.
But Travis Hunter might be more of a fringe decision for people. And Liam Cohen said he might play a little more DB moving forward. Now, he did not say he'll play a little more DB at the cost of playing a little less wide receiver.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think everybody freaked out when he said he might play a little more DB. To me, it sounds like and looks like their goal is for Travis Hunter to play nearly every snap at wide receiver and then ramp him up at defensive back snaps until he's playing a lot of those too, like he was in college. So I'm rolling him out there, but do you have more doubts?
I have a lot of doubts. I didn't draft any of them, but I do feel like, you know, if you're in that situation, you bought into the hype, there's not many options that you feel as though have the same upside as him, like to have that talent ceiling that he brings and the focus that he is in this offense. I do think that, you know, you're rolling him out just to see what another experience can be against a worse defense. I think after this week, you'll have your answer if he's an option as a star and forget or a guy that you're going to constantly have to bounce, you know, from your bench to your starter. And that's exactly why I kind of want to avoid the whole situation. But let's talk about the Bengals, man. Slow start seems like that's what they're trending towards, even though Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow played the most snaps they've ever played together in a preseason. They come out with very, very weird performances, man. Only three completions from Joe Burrow in the second half, and two went to T. Higgins and one went to Noah Fant. Where's Ja'Marr Chase? I mean, how are you feeling about this matchup with the Bengals starters?
I'm feeling queasy would be my word, Laquan.
It's not good. I don't want to hear that. If I'm listening to this, I don't want to hear that. If I got Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, oh my God, Ja'Marr Chase, we're in trouble.
Look, that offensive line, it seems like a bit of a mess. I don't know what happened to this team in week one. I've never seen them look that bad.
Yeah, this is
like
bad.
It was so bad that it feels like it has to be a fluke, because we know Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins are among the most talented players at their position in the entire league. So you feel like it has to bounce back. But it was also so bad that it's like, how far can you bounce back from that? So this is another one of these games. Like, overall, Laquan, we have to remember, we have to remind our listeners, weird things happen in week one every year. Yeah. We try not to overreact to them, but eventually and without fail, we always do to some of them. Everyone can remember Isaiah Likely from last year, who had that huge week one. We all spent 30% of our fab budget on him, and then he did nothing the rest of the year. Like, this stuff happens. But sometimes that stuff doesn't correct. And so in week two is like the week of, was that thing that happened in week one real or not? And that's why we're doing this segment.
Yeah.
I truly don't know with the Bengals. The Bengals are one where I can't put my foot on it. Is that a phrase? Put my thumb on it.
Foot on? I was about to say foot. Jeez. Thumb.
We're sticking with it. I can't put my foot on it, Laquan.
Yeah. I can't step on
maybe
it.
Maybe the Jaguars will put their foot on it and it will be bad.
Pedal to the metal. Because I do think there is some certainty of, like, they'll bounce back. You know, it's the Bengals. But then there's the concern of, like, they do have slow starts within the first 3 weeks. I think after a month of football, this will be looked in the past. But some folks that are heavily invested with some of the Bengals' offensive starters, this does not sound good, does not feel good. After this week, I might hit the panic button on the T. Higgins. I might have to start looking at better options to have that higher ceiling in my flex options. Like, a league that I have Ja'Marr Chase and R.J. Harvey, this week I am rolling out R.J. Harvey because I need that high ceiling. I need that fireworks. I need that security that, hey, I have a guy that can make up for a guy that I'm having in another position that may be having this slow start. That's just my two cents on it. I am going to panic after week two, Okada. I just need to be honest with you. But let's move to another game. Justin Fields versus the Bills defense, man. I mean, we just saw the Bills going to shoot out with the Ravens. Like, I think that's the standard that, you know, the Bills are going to be at when we look at those big time games. I don't think they're giving up 40, you know, against the Jets. But Justin Fields, is he a starter? Is he a QB1 for the rest of the season? Because off mic, we were talking about this. Like, some folks had decisions to make, you know? And I think Justin Fields is a hot topic right now. Can he be trusted for the rest of the fantasy season after week one performance?
Ab-so-frickin-alutely, Laquan. Listen, hear me out, okay? I know this is tough. I need you all to hear me out. Justin Fields was a QB1 floor quarterback entering this season. There was no way, barring being benched, that he was going to be worse than a QB1 in fantasy because of his rushing upside. Now, that was his absolute floor. If you told me to project him based off of he stayed as good of a passer as he has ever been in the league, which is admittedly not that great, I would have said he belongs more around QB 6 to 8 because for the entirety of his time as a starter, that is what he has been, a QB 6 to 8 range guy because of the rushing upside. So that's where the real floor is. But then if you told me he is going to take a huge step forward as a passer, I would tell you his floor might be QB4 and his upside might be QB1 overall.
Wow.
Listen, Laquan,
Justin
Fields, if you look at the metrics, Justin Fields has gotten slightly better as a passer every year of his career. He was also good in college, and people forget this. In week one, he was one of the best passers in the NFL. He was the second highest graded passer on PFF. His completion percentage over expected was amazing. He looked sweet. He was slinging the rock. He was accurate. He passed the eye test. To me, he is now the passer that he was in college. Now, was it 1 week? Yes. But the tape doesn't really necessarily lie as much as the numbers do on a very small sample. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the smaller the sample, the bigger the chance there is that numbers lie. But tape is just kind of tape. And he looked incredible, in my opinion, as a passer. And he's always still, and did in week one, has the rushing upside. So does the passing floor fall out for him moving forward? Maybe, somehow. But even if that happens, he's still a QB1. Probably top 8. And if it doesn't happen, he's probably top 3 rest of season.
Wow. That's a huge statement by you, Okada. And I think a lot of folks are going to be leaning into that. And I think that's what's going to make a lot of decisions of, hey, I draft him as my QB2, but he is overperforming a lot of guys that were going way higher than him in drafts. I mean, a Baker Mayfield was going before him in drafts. I don't know how, but it happened. Baker Mayfield, he looked okay because it's masked by his 3 touchdowns, but that boy had 168 passing yards, and he has a difficult matchup this week. So I would be pumping the brakes on Baker Mayfield and sliding Justin Fields right into starting position. But
here
go ahead.
This one last thing I'll say for context. You had the Elite 5 to start in drafts, right?
Yeah.
Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
You had those Elite 5. To me, I'm not taking any other quarterback in fantasy over Justin Fields for the rest of the season.
Yo.
Dak Prescott is up there because I really like Dak Prescott, but he's got to show it.
Okada is a Justin Fields stan that we just revealed on the pod live. That is a statement.
I've been there.
But you know what? I am rooting for you. I am rooting for Justin Fields. Like, honestly, I want to see it happen. I want him to finish as the QB1 so you could put the haters to bed. I mean, as a passer, like you noted, that metrically, he looked great on tape. He looked great. He had 153 passer rating on passes of 10 plus yards. I thought the boy couldn't air it out. And here he is, week 1, airing it out against his former team and the Steelers that have a rough secondary. We've seen Jalen Ramsey out there being a dog that he is, but man, I got to ask you, final question about this Jets offense. There's not much about the Bills that we need to discuss other than Khalil Shakir, start and forget, Josh Allen, start and forget, James Cook, start and forget. I want to ask you about Breece Hall, Breece Lightning, because Breece Lightning was lighting it up. 6.9 yards per carry, a bouncing outside the tackles, folks. That was amazing to see him get back to form of a little bit of what we saw his rookie year. But will he keep the same energy in week 2?
Another tough one, because for a lot of the offseason, we were talking about Braylon Allen and what he could bring to this offense and the fact that the team wanted to use him as a David Montgomery to Breece Hall's Gibbs. But in week 1, we really didn't see that. We just saw Breece Hall be the guy for basically the entirety of the game. I am not yet willing to consider him a top 5 running back because I'm not yet willing to lock in that Braylon Allen's not going to see more work. However, I am willing to shift my expectations on both these guys because the way things had sounded, I was starting to view them like almost in the same tier in drafts, and that's just not the case anymore. It's like Gibbs and Montgomery levels of separation, but moved down maybe a couple rounds is how I would look at it now. So Breece Hall to me, looking like a very solid RB2, could be better if he just does hold this kind of opportunity share. But keep an eye on Braylon Allen because I do still think he'll step up to some degree.
Yeah, there's a lot of folks out there, and actually Manti Te'o being one of them this morning, asking me, does he drop Braylon Allen? But I'm like, who are you picking up? You know, like, I need to know who you're picking up if you're going to drop Braylon Allen, because I think we're, like, really jumping the gun right now. I want to see how this backfield develops after a month of football. That's where I'll make my ultimate decision on Braylon Allen and my expectations for Breece Hall after 1 month of football. That is in week five. I do feel like now that's just how kind of that game went in week one. It was a high scoring game. It was a lot on the line. It was the double revenge game. Breece Hall was just actually playing a really, really good game. So it might have been a hot hand situation, but who knows what that looks like moving forward. So I'm not jumping the gun on Braylon Allen, Okada. This has been a great pod. I think we ironed out all the important games. And of course, obviously, we're going to be on the fantasy streets tweeting away all weekend long about some of these players and games. So you guys can definitely tap into our socials at Real Deal Fantasy and at Matt Okada. So, Okada, any closing statements?
Go trade for Justin Fields, or if you have the glorious opportunity to pick him up off waivers, do what you do immediately. Yeah. In a lot of leagues, you do. If he's out there, oh my goodness, you can DM me on Twitter to ask me who you should drop, but I would be willing to drop a lot of people.
Dropping the entire league for Justin Fields, man. He would drop three players if he had to for Justin Fields. Oh my God, that's awesome, man. We are rooting for Justin Fields. Good luck, guys and gals, in week two, man. Light it up, man. Let's go into week three, 2-0. That is obviously what we want for everybody that has listened to the FTM Fantasy Show. Please make sure you guys are liking, subscribing, and make sure you hit that download button twice, man, because you want to hear this fire content each and every week, getting you guys prepared for your lineups for week three. See you guys next week.